Okay, we'll get started. We've been going through application of over 10 weeks of preparing and giving doctrinal explanations and teaching. The first week of application, we simply dealt with the circumstance of a man who was a cake maker, and was asked to make a cake. I used that as an example, kind of a springboard, to simply speak about how do we live within our vocations? How do we live within these three estates? Yes, there are the kingdom of the church and the kingdom of this world. Those are unique kingdoms within the church, and I would say as believers, not only individually, but also by your church membership in a church and by what that church congregation does, we follow the word of God, and that is it. It tells us what to do, what not to do. In these particular areas, quite obviously, where it teaches that homosexuality is a sin, no, we don't bless it. We don't marry those. We ourselves don't engage in those type of unions as well. And as we went through, we saw that the scriptures teach that we are to follow his word, and that includes the law of God concerning the Ten Commandments. We call them the moral law. Quite simple. We went on to talk about there are other times in which we are going about our particular vocation, and as we go about that particular vocation, we may be as a father or as a cake maker or as a builder, we are to do certain things. We said those things which are given us to do in our vocation in and of themselves are not uniquely Christian. You can't say, well, I make Christian cakes. Well, what do you mean? You know, I use Christian ingredients. When I make them, I make the sign of the cross over the batter. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, it's a cake's a cake. And so whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, just you're a cake maker, make cakes. Same way as a builder. You build buildings. That's what you do. I made the example in which I said, you know, when I have a health problem, you know, I don't care if he's a Christian, Muslim, or whatever he is. Is he a good surgeon? Has he done this before? Does he know how to do it? Will he do a good job? That's my concern. I don't care about, you can't do this in a Christian way or something like that. So that's what we dealt with the first example. Always coming back to, what does God say about this? We went on with another example, an example of a woman, a clerk named Kim Davis, who is in a position within the state. Not just a citizen, but actually employed by the government to do certain things. One of those things is to sign off on marriage certificates in which they can take that and they can get married either by a justice of the peace or by a religious authority or something like that. So she had a particular job that she was to do. We use that as a springboard to talk about when it comes to the government, whether you're a citizen or whether you're even in a position like a clerk, it comes down to the rule in the Word of God in which it says, you know, we obey God, but if we are asked to sin, we obey God rather than men. There is in which, as long as I am not asked to sin, I will go about this. I may think it is a silly law. I may find that this law causes me a lot. I have to lose money by this law. I have to do all kinds of regulations, and I go, I might say, this was done by special interest groups in order to get this and to do this. But I keep asking the question, am I being asked to sin? No? Then I follow this government which God has established, Romans chapter 13. And so we began to use that as a springboard to talk about that particular thing itself. This particular county clerk. Is it a sin to sign off on a marriage certificate? That's what the government does. No. Does the government allow things that the scriptures don't? Yes. Do they forbid things that the scriptures allow? Yes. That's not a problem unless we are told to sin. The government allows abortion. That goes against not only moral law, fifth commandment, I'm going to say that is the protection of life, which is according to our human reason. Natural law teaches that no, human beings are to be respected. Nevertheless, the government allows it. As long, I live in a government. I pay taxes to a government who does these things. Nevertheless, as long as I am not asked to kill an unborn baby, as long as I am not forced into sin, okay, now, do I seek to turn over that law? Yeah, and I do. So that was kind of the second example that we went through. We began to push into a third, which is still with this example. As we were dealing with Kim Davis, we were talking about, does this impinge upon me being a Christian, my religion? We said that the government actually does not force those who would go against conscience that have religious objection, provided she would say, well, I don't want to sign the documents, but I'll let other clerks in my office do it. That is a common principle of our government to do that. We started to push over to, what if, however, this particular law it's not just a matter of religious liberty. What if this is, in fact, an unjust law? And so we began to push forward. One of the articles, and I'm reading from a couple of them from here and there, and I am picking out certain sections of it to kind of highlight what is being discussed. Does this mean Kim Davis isn't an American hero, a religious freedom fighter, the next Rosa Parks? Well, yes and no. As often happens in significant political movements, the individual becomes something bigger than he or she actually is. Davis acted not only out of an impulse to protect her own religious liberties, but to make a statement to oppose an unjust law. A little bit later, it said this. It says, if you're just talking about religious liberty issues, you may not agree with her, maybe not at all. But if you put her into the larger framework of civil disobedience and opposition to an unjust law, that will have a law that will have devastating effects on the institution of civil marriage, on the autonomy of the family, and with it the protection of children from state intrusion, the freedom of the individual, and religious liberty, then you may be more likely to come to Davis' defense, at least in general, as a principle. And so it talks about resistance to an unjust law. One more thing that goes with this as well. You might say, well, Pastor, you're just supposed to teach God's word. This appears to be just, maybe something that ought to be taught in a government class. Well, not so, because we are told to, fourth commandment, obey the obey the authorities, the governmental authorities. Luther, and I read through one of his ones before, in which he's going, if we're going to obey government, we have to study what government says. What kind of government is set up? Are there laws? Are this? And do we obey? How do we obey? We want to make sure. You might remember Luther had the problem of he was afraid that they were going to come in, they were going to invade the land, and they asked Luther, can we resist the emperor? Can we bring troops against him? Luther said, no, he's the government, you can't. And then later they came up to him and said, well, there actually are laws on the books that say that you can, if it is unjust, resist. And Luther said, well, if the government allows you, itself allows you to resist, then yes, you can. So he was very concerned with obeying government. We also might then begin to say, okay, are there ways in which we are, the government has our system of government, how is it set up, how does it work, and how do we resist, or if we are forced, there may be a civil disobedience that goes with this. In American history, back in 1857, the Supreme Court handed down its decision in the Dred Scott case, one of the most controversial decisions in American history. Dred Scott. It refused to recognize Scott as a citizen because he was black. That was the Dred Scott case. Nope, he's not a citizen. He has no rights. It set the stage for what would be the Civil War. With this particular one, this was debated often between Douglas and Lincoln. Douglas said, the government has ruled on this. You can't, the government has said, this is the way it is, the law's on the books, it's done, you have to obey it, you have to agree with it, end of discussion. Parallel would be what? Today, we have had a ruling that says homosexual unions are to be considered marriage. They are protected under the Constitution. And at this point, resistance is futile. You know, you Christians have talked about this long enough. Now it's over. Get over it. Embrace it. Do it. In fact, if you engage in this any longer, it's going to simply be hate speech. Wow. Abraham Lincoln begged to differ and said that a free people must not only speak out against unjust court rulings, they must seek to overturn them. Lincoln, who was practicing law in Illinois at the time, gave a speech dealing with this particular Dred Scott. In that speech, he said, it's perfectly acceptable for citizens to speak out against a Supreme Court ruling just as he did. And he said this, we think the Dred Scott decision is erroneous. We know the court made, has overruled its own decisions, and we shall do what we can to have to overrule this. There have also been those who, there is a man, the Chief Justice of Alabama, you might know him as Judge Roy Moore, was taken out of office for some things, was back in office. When this came through concerning these things, he described, and he wrote a letter to his governor as the chief justice within his state and said to him, this is judicial tyranny. He specifically asked the governor and state officials to ignore a recent ruling by the U.S. District Court, Cali Granada, stating the definition of marriage in Alabama had to conform to these recent rulings. He said, quote, as you know, nothing in the United States grants the United States Constitution, or the federal government, the authority to redefine the institution of marriage. This is a principle that is called nullification. It's a theory. I might say it's a theory that goes back to writings of various ones. Nevertheless, to say that it ever has been put into effect and then upheld by court rulings and things of that sort is not so. It's based upon the idea that the United States Constitution only gives to the federal government those rights and rules that it puts in there. Everything that's not there is given to the state. And so if the federal government says, we're going to do this, and it's not given them to do, the states can say, it's null and void. We won't even recognize it. Say whatever you want, but you have no authority to do it. But you don't have a legal precedent that goes with it. So this often has become, I'm going to say, a question that's still debated with it. Okay, that gives me a starting point for where I'm going is, what about unjust laws? Do you have a hand? Unjust laws. The very first thing that we have to do is define. What are we going to do with unjust laws? This particular article that I had quotes Martin Luther King Jr., who said, an unjust law is no law at all. Okay. So you say, well, how do we determine? Now, I'm not saying Martin Luther King Jr. is the authority, but he said it is a man-made code a just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. To put it in the terms of St. Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal and natural law. How are we going to define this?
So the founder said that an unjust law was any law that was not backed up by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
It was a violation of the Bill of Rights. They said that such a law was not a law.
Very good. All right, so we can go back and say, is it according to our own agreement, the Constitution, Bill of Rights? If it is not in there, you might say, well, it's unjust. That is, it oversteps the bounds of what you've been able, given to do in this, what we've agreed upon. What else? Okay.
Right.
And so we've had already a court judgment on this that says, oh, yes, gay marriage is a right secured in the Constitution. Whoa. What? Okay. So this judgment then, Mark says it's not in there. The Supreme Court ruled it is. Okay, so, who do I cite? Mark Melvin? Or that becomes an issue. You want to follow up?
Well, I was just going to say, then that begs the question, leaping forward, you got a system set up for this. But when the system is broken by lack of reason, what do we do?
Okay.
That's the question.
Okay. So, yes, let me not only, because I think we already have the example where you would say maybe this system that is set up, you have a court, you have an appellate, you have a Supreme Court, I got that. That's one example. I might say in the same way, what if you have, it's been a... another situation going on today. What is it if you say, listen, we have a system of judicial officers, police officers, and they are no longer enforcing the laws on the books. They are now overstepping their bounds. They're discriminating. They're, you know, that is the accusation. How do you respond to that? Do you respond to that by burning down buildings? You know, is that something that we say, oh, yeah, well, it's unjust? You know, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying it is going on or it's not going on, but I mean, how then do you respond when there is individual or even a gross neglect of that which you're right? That's a different issue. Mark brought up Constitution and Bill of Rights. You know, that goes beyond, you know, that particular thing. Matthew, and I'll come up to Mary.
The law is pretty much made to help benefit society, and when you have an unjust law, it kind of hurts society, because laws are supposed to help people, but when they don't help people, they're unjust.
Okay. I'm not going to share. I don't know if I can organize this all together. Good. The government is set up to provide for the protection of individuals and their property, you might say, for the benefit of people. It is to punish those who are evil and those who are going to take away your life, your possessions. I got it. Great. All right. What happens when the government passes a law in which you cause my business to have to pay out money? I'm going, well, is this good for me? Well, no. You're making me, you know. We laughed. What was the with the learning center? We recently had to get a test for radon. We had to get a test for radon. Okay, $1,000 we had to pay. Our learning center's been open for 20 years, but the new law is you had to have a test for radon, a natural occurring gas that comes out of the ground and that normally is associated with basements or crawl spaces, or we're built on a concrete slab. I mean, radon, in my thinking, what am I thinking? You know, $1,000, did that help? Did that protect the children in our learning center, society? No. Did it cause me and our learning and our church to put on money? Absolutely. You know, who did this benefit? You know, somebody somewhere had to come and hang these things from our ceiling for 4 hours, come back and get them, and in a period of about, 15 minutes, ran it through its computer and said, nope, here you go, you're done. I begin to go, this also becomes one in which you kind of go, there are lots of laws that, one, I just don't like. Eric and I have a drone. We have to register this drone now? I mean, it flies 100 yards. That's as far,
if you bought it after a certain date.
Well, maybe I won't have to. I don't know. This is those kind of things, where you just kind of go. One, I don't like certain things. It just kind of aggravates me. But two, maybe I can make a case for, is this really going to help? Are we, by registering drones, are we really, stopping terrorism? I'm not quite sure, All of a sudden, terrorists will not have, they'll register their drones now. It's the same. Okay, so. But I think Matthew is right. There sometimes you kind of say, well, is this really what government ought to be doing? Sometimes I have to say, that doesn't make any sense to me. But the government has set it up, and personal judgment wise, Mary. Then I'll go back to Mark.
In support of Karen's point, two of the justices of the Supreme Court had already officiated at same-sex marriages
before the ruling, absolutely.
Recuse themselves. How this is not a glaring prejudgment, gets back to common sense, and that's a lot of what frustrates us about our government, the common sense factor, our lack thereof.
Of five voted for it, that's why it's got the ruling. The four that voted against it, I mean, I would love to read for you the entire thing, but I mean, here's some snippets, some quotes from each one. Scalia: "This practice of constitutional revision by an unelected committee of nine robs the people of the most important liberty they asserted in the Declaration of Independence and one in the Revelation of 1716, the freedom to govern themselves." Clarence Thomas wrote, "The majority believe they are advancing the dignity of same-sex couples, but human dignity is innate, and government cannot bestow dignity. Samuel Alito predicted the court's decision will be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to this new orthodoxy, and by imposing its own views on the entire country, the majority facilitates the marginalization of the many Americans who have traditional ideas." They go on, of these four, that they will say they have broken the Constitution. They have gone well beyond that. They are legislating from the bench, and they, all of them, say the American people better be scared for religious liberty, because this will be used to stomp out those. The minority decision makes mention of the majority, which says, well, those who are opposed can continue to teach according to their conscience. To which the minority said, the First Amendment doesn't just say that you can talk about. It says the free exercise of religion. You can act upon your, and you know, at some point, they said, this ruling is going to prevent you from acting upon your religious, you know, rights to say, no, this is not appropriate. It's not according. So, quite a bit have said concerning the unjustness of as it goes with the Constitution, and yet four of the five have said it absolutely goes against it. Wow. What if you're the Supreme Court minority judge, you know, what do you do? I had Mark and then Pastor.
A couple things. What you're speaking of at this point has actually already happened in the census of the bakeries in Oregon. They were told that they were ordered not to discuss this. And Oregon, in fact, has a law that says under certain circumstances you cannot discuss such a thing, which is, you know, it's a glaring violation of the First Amendment right to free speech. But on the other hand, free speech is under attack over the nation. There are prosecutions going on or being contemplated for supposed hate speech, okay? So that is, in fact, something just around the corner. The thing about our government is this. We forget that our government, like all other things, is an institution. All these things age over time, and ours has certainly done so faster than some others. Because, you know, the founders predicated this whole business on the idea that citizens were responsible and would vote responsibly. They had, electorate was presumed to be people who were landed in the first place and educated and would vote according to that. And that was a great idea. However, there were flaws in our Constitution and the Voting Rights, that sort of thing, which allowed, us in anything, this to creep in. Our trouble now is that our government is not, in fact, the people who are sitting up there, our president, our Supreme Court. Our government is ourself. And our trouble now is that our government no longer, since our government is the people, we the voters, okay, our trouble now is that our government reflects the voters who constituted, who no longer are a group of people who are deciding things righteously, in their best interest. We now are a nation of takers, and with short attention spans, we want what we want. And what we're getting now is a reflection of our culture. We're stuck with this, and to think that this will get better is ridiculous. So,
that is.
And how do we deal with this?
Absolutely.
We are in the waning days of empire. We should know that and understand it and deal with it. So,
Executive branch, the judicial branch, are legislating, which is not a court. So, not only do we constitution, but you say, how come you guys aren't speaking up and dealing with this? But to go further, and I think just as you said, do we think that, oh my goodness, you know, we used to be a Christian nation, and which is baloney, but now, oh, things have gotten so terrible, we don't know how this is going to work. Historically, radar government right now with the governments of the world for the last 1,000 years.
We're better than most that have ever been. This is the best we've ever had. I mean, because we're sinful human beings, the best government we've ever come up with in the face of the planet is horrible. It's horrible.
So, Pastor?
Well, the fact of the matter is there are provisions in our Constitution for us to change this. However, like Mark said, we're simply electing the people who will not do anything. It doesn't make any difference whether you vote for a Republican or a Democrat, because they're both doing the same thing. We have this sinful nature business going on here, and what were Adam and Eve doing? They were watching out for old number one. What are we doing? We're watching out for old number one.
I spent one of the class periods going through and explaining natural law. In the very next class period, I explained why we don't follow it. Right? You said, well, if natural law, you know, if it ought to be common sense that, you know, two men can't procreate and thus they're really not married, and the government only cares about the procreation of children and their protection, then why is this? And then we went through and said, why? We've got a sinful nature. And so we bend the truth. We conform, you know, and so we went through and said, yep, that can happen. I'm going to get a couple more questions, but I'm going to get those three right there. But I'm at about 12 till. I do want to make sure, I'm probably going to have to deal with this probably one more Sunday, but I do want to give some very clear answers concerning generally about what is an unjust law, and then how do we determine whether we respond and how we do respond with it. I had three, was it Mike and Ben and then Tony Proska. Mike?
Thomas Jefferson said that a politically ignorant citizen is better than a citizenry could never expect to be free. And what is happening now is that it's the United States turning and the media is pushing us there. It's incredible how many people are educated by our biased
people. Sure. Right. Ben?
Back, way back, we kept on distinguishing between Christian and citizen.
Talk up a little bit louder, but yes.
We have to distinguish between the Christian and the citizen. We have to do that here as well in referring to unjust laws.
Unless
it requires us to sin.
Unless it requires us to sin. Yes. Absolutely, we have to make that distinction. Tony?
Yeah, a couple of things here. First of all, I want to touch on what Marcus said and some of those about our Constitution. The founding fathers granted the right to vote to a certain select people. Now, are we going to hold to that? Look at the judges that voted in favor of the same-sex marriage. The ones that were excluded were women, among other things, but the biggest proportion were women. Why did they do that? They thought that they didn't know how to vote, or were they afraid of how they would vote? I'll leave it there. The second thing is that we have a problem with this in defining what is the situation. What did the Supreme Court actually confer on these people? What the playing the devil's advocate, what they came up with is, look, this government allows all sorts of benefits to those people that are married. And those of us that are not of the same sex or opposite sex type of things. Do we get those? Those that are same sex, we don't get those. That is what's unfair. And we add to it our religious baggage, which says that isn't a marriage, no matter what you want to call it. Well, it isn't.
You could think when you look back in society, because you're talking about morality in society.
Yeah.
In both the Greek and the Roman empires, homosexuality was actually illegal. But guess what? It was practiced. I mean, you can tell from tombstones that homosexuality was practiced. And
they go to the Far East.
Legality and morality seem to have no connection in the human mind.
I'm going to go to the distinction between what goes on as a believer in the church, which is the Word of God. And as I said, that is quite clear, what we are to do, what we are not to do, what we speak out against. When it comes to the world, and that would include the two estates of state and family, it is to be followed by natural law or human reason. And so, within those, that is what to be determines. As we are talking about unjust, is it an unjust law if it goes against, and I'm not quite sure that unjust, it was normally used in a particular instance. That most of the ones that I have read, when they talk about unjust laws, they're talking about where the government has overstepped its bounds. That is, it is instituting or doing something which is not given it to do. And when I say not given it to do, I'm not talking about the Constitution, Bill of Rights. I'm talking about what God says that the government can do. The most common example of this is an unjust war. The government has been given the power of the sword to engage in just wars. What is a just war? One in which you protect your own people. Another nation comes to fight you, they come to take away, they come to harm. You go to war to protect your people. That is a just war. We say that is appropriate. We say that as a Christian, you keep the fifth commandment by not murdering. But as a Christian who is now in the role of a soldier, you go out and kill and murder, and that is right and good. Why? Because I am functioning on behalf as a citizen in the government. Or not a citizen, a soldier in the government. Right. We say, what about an unjust war? What if you are a soldier and you are asked to go to war? And I'm just going to give you the wild example. You know, the wild example is the government says, listen, you know, Russia's weak right now. We can take over their oil. It'll benefit us. Let's go and conquer them. Take their stuff. We're stronger than they are. And that's it. Okay? As a citizen, you follow the word of God. I would say even natural law would say you should not use your strength to overcome those who are weak and to take what doesn't belong to them. We would all say that, whether you're a Christian or not. You would, as your individual, have to say, no, I may be a soldier. I'm not going to do that. You have to say no to that which would be an unjust. Now, that would be going beyond the word of God, going beyond moral law. They're doing something they shouldn't. A similar example, which would fall under the realm of a family. If my neighbor, husband and wife, and they have children, and they are feeding their children donuts and chocolate. I'm not the father of that family. That's not my business. They're feeding them gluten. That is their family, and this is my family, right? If, however, this father is sexually abusing his children, there does come a point in which you say, you don't say, oh, well, he's the father, it's his family. There does come a point in which there is a declaration that he is outside of his authority. It's not just a matter of you can raise your family with gluten or without gluten. You can, you know, take them to church or not take them to church. That's outside the limits. That would be considered kind of unjust kind of thing. We have to recognize that, and that is. What about, though, and I think this is where we're getting to something and where we would say it's not simply a matter of God's law, and it's not simply a matter of kind of natural law and human reason, although those they may fall under those as well with abortion. What about over in this area? If we're talking about unjust in the sense that it doesn't go according to the government, we are in the realm of the world, the state, and family, and that is where human reason and natural law is king. That is where we, provided again, we're not asked to sin. You have to say, is this a good thing for me to do, human reason-wise? I think in every one of these areas, I've distinguished these two. If you're baking a cake, I say you're just a cake baker, bake cakes. There does come a point in which your human reason says, I'm not quite sure I want to bake this cake if you're going to ask me to put this on the top of it. I may be a cake baker, but I'm just not writing that on the top. I get it. You may be a builder, and you say, I build buildings or whatever. But there may come a point where you say, you know, I'm allowed to build any building I want. But I may not build, you know, when Planned Parenthood comes to me and says, build this building. I just, you know, I it wouldn't be sinning. But according to human reason or natural law, I have to look at this and say, what about this? And how important is this? You gave an example of a police officer making that, or I did, of a police officer with someone speeding. 55, you pull them over at 56, 57, 58, 50, 103. Bingo, got it, right? There's a natural law as well as, and there's gray area, I get the gray area, but there's a point in which you say, no, this harms, you know, this can harm, this has to be held in check. We get that. If you are a county clerk and they ask you to do this, you know it's not according to the Constitution, you know it's not, you know, is this something that you, and we would say, I'm supposed to obey the government. So what do I do? This may be a matter in which someone says, this is a matter of civil disobedience. I won't do it. You're going to throw me in jail? Okay, you can put me in jail for that. It's not a matter of sin or not sin. It's simply because, now, she may make the decision that, you know, it's not according to the Constitution, it's not according to this, but, you know, I've got children at home, and I can't be thrown in jail, and no one's going to take care of me, and I'm simply going to buck it up. Or I'm simply going to resign my job. I'm going to do whatever. You make those decisions in which I had a businessman who said, you know, I engaged in this particular thing and someone did something. He said, I could have took him to court. I made the decision based upon my human reason that even if I won, it wouldn't have been good for me, for others, for my family. And I didn't do it. I think that's where a lot of these things fall, in which you have to say, you know, am I willing to, for the sake of the freedom and the Constitution, whatever, sit in a jail for 30 years? You know, you might go, well, no, I'd be willing to protest, I'd be willing to vote, I'd be willing to, it's not right. But sometimes those decisions are not simply a matter of right and wrong. You do this if, you know, it's sin or not sin. It ends up falling over on this. And so when we come to some of these decisions, we have to make those judgment calls concerning it. Last thing, I've got just a couple of minutes. I want to illustrate, because I've tried to illustrate the right and wrong. I tried to illustrate the, here's the way we respond. When it comes to these gray areas, and there are gray areas, I've said, let me go back to the cake. You're a cake, maybe you make cake. There are times in which, what? A cake is not a cake. is what I said, where someone is going to make this into a thing. And so you might say, I cannot do this, because in and of itself, it's not wrong. Got it. There may come a point where, as with this city, this clerk, you know, in which she says, in and of itself, it's not wrong, but I can't do this. You know, you are forcing my hand on this particular thing. I think in our individual interactions with people, we talk about our Christian faith. We engage in those. You might say, you may go to a doctor who is a Muslim. You may play cards with those who are atheists. You may play golf with, you know, people that don't support your political views, whatever. There is a civility that goes on in this particular thing in which it doesn't upset my golf game. But there may come a point in which, you know, do I have to invite the homosexual couple next door, you know, into my home and you know, as I have done with the others on the block? You know, no, you don't have to. You can. And if it's a civil conversation and it's whatever, yeah. You can work for them, you can do whatever. But if it is pushed so that becomes more than that, or you are required to give up your opinion, and I'm going to say some of that civil discourse is what has happened, especially with this particular homosexual ruling, in which now it said, it's already decided. You guys are done. You know, you had a good fight. You ready to give it up? No. I can't leave this. I still have to preach this way. We still are not going to, you know, if someone calls me up and says, the Supreme Court has ruled now, are you going to marry? No, I'm not. Well, you're not going to speak out against it. Yes, I am. Sometimes those things are more than what they are. Where in one instance it may be fine, in another instance it may not. That is where, when we talked last time about the kind of perception, in this world where human reason, sometimes cakes are not just cakes. We have to deal with that. Is there anything I need to deal with? And because I could use this as a wrap-up, but depending on the conversations I have, I may give us one more time to wrap up a couple other loose ends that go with this next time. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have built us as children of God upon your word of the prophets and apostles, with Jesus Christ as the chief center and key to unlocking all of the word of God. Help us that confessing our sins, we might always believe in that Savior. We desire, though, as children, to please you in thought, word, and deed. And so guide us, give us your ways, teach us by your word, that whether we are living in our vocation as a child of God, or whether as a father or a citizen or whatever the case might be, that you might guide us by your teaching, and that you might give us even the wisdom of human reason to discern what would be the best way to respond. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.